welcome to this reading of the Business Record, Central Iowa's Business Weekly. I'm your reader, Bob Powers. All material heard on IRIS is intended for the use of listeners with print disabilities. And reading from the Business Record, dated August 16, 2019, the cover story is 40 Under 40, 40 Issues to Address. And here's our first story. It comes, of course, from the Insider Notebook, Bits and Bytes of the Finer Side of Iowa Business. And the first story is written by Chris Konetsky. BH Management, now 8th largest multifamily property manager. We recently had the pleasure of meeting with the leadership team of BH Management Services. BH Management is one of four divisions of BH Companies, which was founded by Harry Bookie. Many are familiar with Harry and his wife Pamela's philanthropic giving and development, the Temple for Performing Arts, for example. But in talking with BH Management President Joanna Zabriskie at their office in the Capitol Square, I was surprised to learn just how large and national a footprint the multifamily property management company now has. According to a profile in Multifamily Executive, last year, BH Management expanded its portfolio by more than 14,000 new units under management, bringing its total as of January 1 to 94,000 units under management. That moved the company up one spot from last year to the 8th largest multifamily property manager on the MFE Top 50 Managers list. BH Companies currently has 2,171 employees and is managing properties in 19 states. Zabriskie has been a big driver of BH Management's growth since she joined in 2013 as Senior Vice President and then was promoted in December 2014 to President. The magazine did a short Q&A with Zabriskie, asking her about the keys to the company's success and growth. You can check that out here. And that's colon, and it's a long one. https://bit.ly/2YZ(D). That's https://, and then I think they call it bit.ly, bit.ly, /2YZ(D). Next comes Kathy Bolton's story entitled Des Moines Considering Buying 4 Electric Vehicles. The city of Des Moines could soon join the growing number of government agencies across the United States that have electric vehicles in their vehicle fleets. The City Council on August 19th is slated to hold a public hearing on the purchase of 4 Nissan Leaf hatchback electric vehicles for a cost not to exceed $120,000. If approved, the vehicles would be the first electric cars in Des Moines' fleet. Quote, "This is a potentially significant step in what I hope will be a larger examination of how we approach our vehicle fleet," end quote, Councilman Josh Mandelbaum said during a meeting setting the public hearing. Des Moines will not only have an environmental accomplishment, but I think if this works out over time, we will be saving the city money on fuel and operation and maintenance costs, Mandelbaum said. This is a small step toward a more sustainable Des Moines. In July, the Climate Mayor's Electric Vehicle Purchasing Collaborative announced that more than 140 U.S. cities and counties had committed to buying more than 2,000 electric vehicles by the end of 2020. Des Moines is a member of the collaborative, according to the group's website. The use of electric vehicles by cities and counties familiarizes residents with the vehicles. Supporters of the initiative recently told Skip Descant, D-E-S-C-A-N-T, of Government Technology magazine. Quote, "They demonstrate to consumers and normalize to consumers that EVs are both the technology and transportation of the future and something you can buy right now," Ben Prohaska, vice president for the Electrification Coalition, an EV advocacy group, told the magazine. Quote, "If it's meeting the operational needs of a city, most consumers are much more likely to think it will meet their own operational needs on a daily basis," end quote. In Des Moines, the vehicles will be used by inspectors in the Community Development Department for the Blitz on Blight program. The city's facilities division is making plans for infrastructure to charge the vehicles. Mid-American Energy is providing Des Moines with a $1,500 rebate for the installation of charging stations that will lessen the cost of the new infrastructure, according to a city document. And in case you missed it, sidebar, a brief look back at news from the past week on businessrecord.com. Simpson President, Simpson College's Board of Trustees, is seeking a replacement for Simpson President Jay Simmons, who plans to step down. EMC Earnings. EMC Insurance Group, Inc., reports higher-than-expected premium growth. Land rezoned. The Des Moines City Council rezoned about 63 acres of farm ground for a variety of homes for individuals with disabilities. Local sales tax okayed. Five Polk County communities approved a local option sales tax, which will offset some property tax and pay for services. Athene's earnings strong. The parent of West Des Moines-based Athene USA announced higher earnings for its second quarter. And July stocks mixed. 11 Iowa-based stocks recorded gains in July as the Iowa index of stock prices ticked upward by 1.61%. over June. And as we turn the page, we come to Closer Look. Meet a leader you should know. Christina Murphy, General Manager, West Des Moines Waterworks, by Kathy A. Bolton. Christina Murphy grew up in the Missouri River town of St. Charles, Missouri. With the Mississippi River also nearby, Murphy's family spent countless weekends and holidays on the water, boating, swimming, and fishing. "My love of water started very strong," said Murphy, who in April was named general manager of West Des Moines Waterworks. "Water has always been a part of me. I think it will be forever." Murphy, 39, studied biological engineering with a soil and water emphasis at the University of Missouri, Columbia. She was an engineer intern within Missouri offices of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service while attending college. After receiving her master's degree in 2004, the USDA moved her to its Des Moines office. The job had numerous responsibilities, including developing preliminary designs and cost estimates for the construction of an 800-acre water supply reservoir in Clark County, completing preliminary designs for possible water supply reservoir sites in Ida County, and assessing damage to drainage systems in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina hit the area in 2005. We take water for granted in this country. We turn on the tap and water comes out. We don't really think about all that it takes to make that happen, Murphy said. In early 2007, Murphy became the assistant director of the City of Ames Water and Pollution Control Department. She was in the position for nearly 2 years before leaving for West Lafayette, Indiana, and Purdue University, where her husband, Patrick, had been hired. The family stayed in Indiana for about 3 years before being lured back to Iowa. In June 2014, the City of Ames was looking for someone to fill Murphy's old job, and she was rehired. Murphy implemented the capital improvements plan for a 15-million-gallon-per-day lime-softening water treatment plant. She worked on the development of 3 new wells. She oversaw the conversion to automated meter reading, and she helped prepare the utility's $8 million annual operating budget and get 5-year rate projections. That job prepared her for the next phase of her career, managing a large and growing water utility. I always thought at some point I would move to that next level. I didn't really know when, and honestly, I thought it would be later, said Murphy, who began her new job June 10th. Murphy, whose salary is $138,000 annually, oversees the utility's $12.5 million budget and $10 million capital improvement plan. The utility, with more than 25,000 customers, has 34 employees. We talked to Murphy about her journey and what she's learned in the 2 months she's been at West Des Moines Water Works. Why did you decide to apply for the job as West Des Moines Water Works General Manager? West Des Moines is a growing, vibrant community, and I had heard great things about their staff, and there were only so many places that are appealing, and West Des Moines was one of them. What was the hiring process like? They used an outside consultant, Francis and Associates, and fortunately, I knew the previous general manager, and that was helpful. I met with the consultant and then a couple members of the board. Eventually, I was brought in to meet the full board and the staff. That final step sealed it for me. I knew if I was hired, I'd have a supportive board behind me and a great, dedicated staff. It doesn't get much more appealing than that for someone who is moving in a new position. There's challenges, making sure that we're keeping up with the growing community, but that's an exciting challenge to me. What's it been like to get acclimated to your new job? I'm familiar with lime softening, but every plant does it differently. And so, coming up to speed in how we treat the water. And then it's a very complex distribution system where we are able to push water to different pressure zones. So that is very exciting to me. I am in the process of meeting with every single employee, getting to know them, understand what we do really well at the waterworks, and where do people see our challenges are at. Why do you think it's important to meet with every employee? I think it's important that you connect with all the employees, that they don't feel like the general manager is unreachable, and that their concerns are important. Also, I think you get a sense of the true culture of a work group when you meet individually with the employees. What are the challenges that are going to face West Des Moines Water Works? West Des Moines is growing, and it's always a challenge when you have a growing community to stay ahead of the needs of that community. So you need to make sure we have enough source water available and that we have enough treated capacity. And then also that we put infrastructure in place to get water everywhere that we need it, and then still do that with the dollars that we have and prioritizing what that looks like. And then, looking forward, how do we make that happen? Those are big challenges for the utility, just making sure that we're taking care of our customers. West Des Moines has grown westward, and now it's growing to the south, on the other side of the Raccoon River. How do you get water there? You can pump water over the river. There's infrastructure that went into place. There's a 24-inch main that's in the process of construction. There are several booster stations under construction right now that will help us make sure we can serve to the south. And we've acquired land for a future elevated tower, so when that time comes, we're ready. What interesting statistics have you learned about West Des Moines Water Works? We have 17 alluvial wells and 4 deep wells. What's an alluvial well? An alluvial well is just a shallow well that you find generally near river source. They tend to be 50 to 100 feet deep, sometimes a little deeper. Jordan wells are quite a bit deeper, in the neighborhood of 2,000 feet deep. Water quality is a little different between the two types of wells. Alluvial wells are more susceptible to drought. With deeper wells, you tend to have more stable, available water source, but they also tend to have a little bit different water quality characteristics that weren't as favorable. Other waterworks statistics you've learned. We have 5 elevated towers, and 1 that's a shared resource among more than one city. We treat, on average a year, about a little over 7 million gallons a day, and we can have a little over 13 million gallons a day, especially in the summer when it's dry. It's quite a swing in demand that is needed of us, so as water quality, you have to prepare to meet the highest demand. It's not the everyday usage, it's that peaking demand that drives a utility to look for more water. What are you passionate about? I'm pretty passionate about early childhood literacy, getting our children off to a great start so that they can be successful. And obviously, as a female engineer, I'm big into STEM. How do we support getting more girls in science and technology fields? I try and do what I can to support that. What have you done? I've talked to students in classrooms. I really enjoy the outreach to schools. One group I met with, there were so many girls in that group. It was just opening the door for them about what they can do. What did your children think about your new job? I wasn't sure how our kids would react to the potential change. My daughter, Reagan, knew by the time I was completing the final interviewing stages that I was considering a different job. I will always remember us lying in her bed, finishing up a story before bedtime, and she asked me if I had heard whether I got the job or not. I told her I did, and she punched her fist in the air. "Yes, great job, Mommy," end quote. And here's the sidebar for Ms. Murphy. Age, 39. Hometown, St. Charles, Missouri. Lives in Ames. Family, husband Patrick, daughter Reagan, 10, and son Mitchell, 7. Education, bachelor's degree, biological engineering, University of Missouri, Columbia, 2002. Master's degree, Biological Engineering, University of Missouri, Columbia, 2004. Activities: coaching youth volleyball and cheering children on in their sports activities. Active with Water for People. Contact information is Christina.Murphy. And Christina is spelled Christina.Murphy, common spelling, Murphy, at wdmww.com. That is to say, Christina.Murphy at wdmww.com. Contact phone number 515-222-3510. 515-222-3510. And now let's do the CRE update, Real Estate and Development News, by Kathy Bolton, Senior Staff Writer. Upscale houses planned for Sherman Hill. The six single-family houses, all two stories with basements and garages, are expected to sell for around $700,000 each. Jake Christensen and his wife, Suzanne Fitzsimmons, nearing the empty nest stage of their lives, have been looking for a place to live as they begin the process of downsizing. While both liked living in the Liberty Building in downtown about a decade ago, they missed the amenities provided by a traditional house, such as a yard, a garage, and a place to store things, Fitzsimmons said. A package of four parcels for sale in the 1600 block of High Street caught the couple's attention, said Fitzsimmons, who for about 10 years was vice president and general counsel for Ruan Companies. She left Ruan and in January joined her family's firm, Christensen Development, where she's vice president and general counsel. The four lots, which total about 3/4 of an acre, are on the southern edge of the Sherman Hill neighborhood and immediately north of Crescent Chevrolet Auto Dealership's former home on Ingersoll Avenue. Quote, we found this property and decided to broaden the view of what a downtown home could be like, Fitzsimmons said. These are not the types of homes you'd find in the downtown market, but they'll have everything that is great about downtown living with the attraction of a charming neighborhood. You'll get the urban neighborhood feeling and still be within walking distance of downtown, end quote. Christensen Development bought the lots in 2018 for $980,000, Polk County Assessor records show. Two of the lots are vacant. One has a one-story concrete block building on it, the other a house. Fitzsimmons says the structures will be torn down. Plans call for six two-story single-family houses with full basements and three-car garages to be built on the property. High Street homes, all with front and back yards and rooftop decks, will range in size from 2,722 square feet to 3,818 square feet. Home buyers will be able to customize floor plans, Fitzsimmons said. The houses can have up to 5 bedrooms depending on whether basements are finished, she said. The houses will sell for about $700,000 and include 10-year property tax abatement. KRM Development, LLC of Urbandale, will build the houses, Fitzsimmons said. City Council has approved the first two readings of an ordinance to change the zoning of the lots to Neighborhood Pedestrian Commercial District from General Retail and Commercial. A final reading of the ordinance is expected to be approved at the August 19th council meeting. Construction is expected to begin in the spring. Ryan Howell, president of the Sherman Hill Neighborhood Association, said the houses will complement housing offered in Sherman Hill, Des Moines' oldest neighborhood, whose boundaries are Interstate Highway 235, Martin Luther King Jr. Parkway, Ingersoll Avenue, and 15th Street. Housing in the area includes single-family Victorian houses, apartment buildings, and houses that have been converted to apartments, as well as single-family cottages and bungalows. Quote, "The area where the new houses are planned has been an eyesore for years," Howell said. "Until now, no one has been interested in that property," end quote. The neighborhood has gone through cycles of prosperity and decline. It's now in an era of growth with plans for a $3.5 million expansion of Hoyt Sherman Place, a resurgent concert venue and cultural center, and a new brewery that is scheduled to open later this year at 1525 High Street. In addition, residents in the area are waiting to see what the Krause family plans to do with the 1.75 acres that KG Store 543 LLC owns between 16th and 17th Streets and High and Ingersoll. KG Store is connected with Come and Go, which built its new corporate headquarters, the $151 million Krause Gateway Center, at 1459 Grand Avenue. KG Store bought the property formerly occupied by Crescent Chevrolet in 2014 for $2 million. Quote, "Whenever what is planned by the Krause family is completed, I am confident it will provide a good transition between downtown and Sherman Hill," Howell said, end quote. The Christensen housing development and development on the former auto dealership site will only increase the appeal of Sherman Hill, he said. Fitzsimmons agreed. "Exciting things are happening in the neighborhood. It's a gem," she said. Fitzsimmons said she and Christensen haven't yet decided whether they'll live in one of the houses. "Well, we certainly designed the homes with that intention," she said. You are listening to this week's edition of the Business Record. Our thanks to the folks at Business Publications for providing a copy of the Business Record to Iris so that we can read it for you. If you have any comments on this or any other Iris program, give us a call at 243-6833. That's 243-6833. Now back to the Business Record. And as we turn to the opinion section, the first column is by Dave Elbert, the Elbert Files, of course. And the title of this week's is Carnegie and Mom. My mother was born the day after Andrew Carnegie died. Not that they had much in common beyond the fact that both were born at home in sparse surroundings. Last Monday was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Evelyn Everly Elbert. When I looked in old newspapers to see what was happening on August 12, 1919, the story that jumped out was the death the previous day of Scottish-born Carnegie, who came to the United States at age 11 and went on to lead the expansion of the U.S. steel industry in the late 19th century. Late in life, he gave away nearly 90% of his wealth, much of it to public libraries. The library in Ames, four blocks from where I grew up, was one of 1,797 libraries, including 108 in Iowa, funded by Carnegie. I doubt Mom ever realized the tenuous connection she had with Carnegie. If she did, she certainly would never have mentioned it. Mom did not brag, nor about herself or her family, not even about her grandchildren, whom she dearly loved and encouraged. When Mom died in 2015, my wife, Amy, wrote a touching tribute. She was reserved with adults, Amy wrote, but not with her grandchildren. She was down on the floor playing with them as long as she was able. Craig and Holly loved playing games with Grandma Elbert, she continued. The games often involved memory skills and math, which helps explain their success today. And while Mom did not brag, I will. Granddaughter Holly is a mechanical engineer and partner at BBS, one of Des Moines' oldest and most successful architectural engineering firms. Grandson Craig lives in Brooklyn, New York, where he is a successful entrepreneur and CEO of Care/Of, a leading online provider of nutritional supplements. Mom's life was shaped in large part by the early death of her father, who was killed in 1931 by a drunken driver. Mom was 11 at the time. The accident left my grandmother, Everly, with three children and no visible means of support beyond a life insurance policy. The Great Depression was just starting, but Grandpa's banker's life policy provided enough resources for Grandma to move with her children into Bond or Aunt, and the annuity supported her until she died in 1979. Mom was the only one of her siblings to attend and graduate from college, which she paid for with a loan from an uncle. She met my father at Iowa State College and married him in 1943 in Texas, where he was serving as an airplane mechanic during the war. When World War II ended, they settled in Ames, where Mom gave birth to four children between December 1945 and October 1949. While Mom may never have known about her connection with Carnegie, I'm pretty sure she would have approved of the way she raised her children. As far back as I can remember, she was always finding character-building things for us to do. Boys back then were supposed to be a certain age before they could carry the Ames Daily Tribune. Somehow, Mom had my older brother Steve and me delivering the newspaper 2 years before we reached that age. Mom created a plaster of Paris factory in our basement, where we kids made and painted figurines, which we sold from a little stand in our driveway. When we were older, my father built carts to haul lawnmowers behind our bicycles, and for several summers, Steve and I mowed lawns all over Ames. Mom kept the books, carefully recording when it was time to mow each lawn and tallying the payments. One summer, we had more than 50 regular customers, which I think might have impressed even Andrew Carnegie. And of course, in the marketing world, we have Drew McClellan's column. Should we be worried about ad blocking? Ad blocking is the action or practice when consumers use a particular piece of software to prevent the download or display of advertising from appearing on a web page. Odds are you have tried it once or twice yourself. Typically, ad blocking is done through browser extensions, and more consumers will block ads by the end of this year. eMarketer forecasts that over 25% of U.S. internet users will block by the end of this year. That's up from 21% in 2016. By the end of 2020, they're predicting almost 28% of internet users will be blocking ads. The good news is that it's not quite as rampant as many marketers feared, but the practice is not going away anytime soon, and the trend is going to continue growing, which means we have to figure out how to combat it. When we are on the other side, as consumers, it's easy to understand. Internet users block ads to protect their digital media experiences. They are overwhelmed by the number of ads, and in a world where people control so much of their media consumption, they have very little tolerance for the uninvited interruptions. In the ideal world, ads would always have a useful connection to the content, but that's not our reality. Many ads lack relevance and aren't well targeted. On the flip side, in today's data breach environment, if the ad is too well targeted, it raises concerns and suspicions. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. To serve up relevant ads, we rely on customer data, and customers are becoming more and more wary about data use. It seems like every time we turn around, we hear about another data scandal. As a result, privacy laws are getting tougher, and we should expect that pattern to continue. Consumers are also concerned about how marketers are tracking and targeting their online behaviors. Ad blocking is especially prevalent among teens and young adults. More than 1 in 3 millennials block ads, but all age groups are increasing in their usage. Consumers object to digital ads even more on their phones. 80% of mobile users in the U.S. say there are too many ads on their mobile phone. Interestingly, 19% of mobile users think there is just the right number of ads on their phone. Our job is coming up with more creative ways to create and place ads. Marketers will need to think outside the box when it comes to digital promotions to get the results we want. Here are some tactics to consider. Native advertising. Native advertising is paid content that aligns with the publication or site's established editorial style and tone. It provides the kind of information that the publication's audience typically expects. Native ads are different from standard ads because they're designed to fit inside the user's path through the site. Rely on the power of content. Brands should focus on creating stronger content and then boosting that content to get more eyeballs. Don't make the mistake of creating smart, useful content and then just waiting for people to find it. Use retargeting and paid advertising to drive more traffic to your content. Product placement. Product placement is a form of advertising where a brand pays to have its product prominently displayed in a TV show, movie, video game, or other type of entertainment. Remember the Reese's Pieces in E.T.? That didn't happen by accident. Ad blockers are here to stay. In an odd way, I think it's good for us. It forces us to make sure our marketing efforts are relevant and beneficial to the audience. Our best marketing is created when we forget we're marketers and focus on discovering and telling the stories that matter to the consumers we're trying to reach. Now let's turn to the cover story this week. The title is 40 Under 40. 40 Issues to Address is the subtitle. It's by Chris Konetsky, publisher and executive editor of the Business Record. Mental health, diversity, affordable housing, transportation. These are just a few of the issues that our 2019 40 Under 40 class, which was honored earlier this spring, believes our community needs to address to truly become a world-class city. Who better to envision the city's future than those striving, each in their own way, to lead us there? All told, in this week's issue, the honorees provide a peek into 40 issues and challenges that today's up-and-coming leaders say face the region. I hope you enjoy their ideas and collective challenge for constant improvement, says Mr. Konetsky. And we'll start with Caroline Bettis, Corporate Legal Counsel, EMC Insurance Companies. For the business community to actively support fully funding Iowa's judicial branch. A fully funded judiciary will help the courts provide access to justice for all Iowans and will allow specialty courts to continue to serve those with the greatest needs, including children and families. Matt Blake, Director, Governmental Relations and Membership Services, Leading Age, Iowa. Balanced growth in our communities. Progress and growth are vital to keep Des Moines strong, but we need to make sure growth is balanced with workforce and affordable housing. All members of our community should have the ability to find access to a place to call home. The same goes for our aging populations. We need to have an infrastructure that allows older adults a place they call home and allow them to stay in the communities they have lived in for years. Lauren Bergeson, Executive Vice President, Branch Administration, Iowa State Bank. I think Central Iowa leaders need to continue to address the mental health needs of our community. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I do think it is time we raise awareness, educate, provide support, and fight the stigma. Shannon Bielski, Chief Legal Officer, DLL Finance. In my professional career, I've been an advocate for diversity for many years. Our workplaces are making great strides following recognition that diversity adds to the bottom line. Central Iowa leaders and voters need to keep pace by striving for diversity on local boards, commissions, and city councils. Diversity brings a new lens through which we can view our communities, a lens that could possibly impact our priorities and decision-making. Lindsay Black, Director of Corporate Communications, Work Iowa. Recruiting young talent and retaining the talent we have in Central Iowa is very important to the growth of our city. All metro companies should be making it a top priority. Joshua V. Barr, Director, Des Moines Civil and Human Rights Commission. How do we open up the cultural, economic gates to showcase what all communities in Des Moines have to offer to the region? The coolest cities in the world tap into all communities and help them grow and flourish economically, which brings more money and tax dollars into the region. We need a game plan. Carla Bromwell, Rational Quality Manager and Compliance Manager, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. I would like the business community to be more inclusive of immigrant and POC, brackets, person of color in brackets, owned businesses in our community. We have such a vibrant community of restaurants and shops that aren't always included in conversations about entrepreneurship and community development. Mary Bunny, Financial Advisor, RBC Wealth Management. The cost of quality childcare needs to be addressed. One of the hardest parts of dual-income families is finding someone to entrust with caring for your children. Fortunately, my husband and I were able to afford it once we found it. However, many families do not have this freedom. leaders need to address the cliff effect impacting child care assistance, the tax treatment of child care costs, and even potentially increasing child care supplements. Stephanie Greiner, Chief Development Officer, Des Moines University. There is a shortage of mental health providers in central Iowa and around our state. I would like to see leaders focused on increasing resources, residency programs, and inpatient and outpatient services. Increased funding and support, as well as partnerships from businesses and state appropriations, are necessary to help overcome this dire situation. Jennifer Carruthers, owner, executive producer, 1111 Productions, and it's printed here as the Arabic numbers 1-1, making the number 11, and then space and capital ELEVEN Productions. The number one opportunity I'd like to see Central Iowa leaders address is ensuring we continue to attract the necessary talent to the state so we can meet the constantly changing needs of business in Iowa. There is currently a workforce shortage, and it must be addressed in order to keep the state growing. This emphasis will require investment and calculated focus on education and training. Economic and workforce development must be a priority for our leadership and business community. Kendra Erkema, and that last name is spelled E-R-K-A-M as in Mary, A-A, owner and financial advisor, Triangle Financial Services. The issue that can use the support of Central Iowa leaders is the development of an educated and skilled workforce that meets the needs of businesses. Businesses are needing a reliable source of quality labor to come, stay, and grow in Central Iowa. For the job force, access to good-paying jobs will provide them and their families. There is much going on in the community around this. However, more focus can be placed on education in financial literacy. Financial literacy, education, and mastery for individuals is critical to the success of our community and well-being. Involving the public school leaders, along with college, business, and nonprofit agencies, can make a difference that would set apart Central Iowa from anywhere else. Brandon Folds, Principal and CEO of Shift Collective, continue to provide additional transportation alternatives for more flights in and out of Des Moines Airport to ride sharing or to new technologies. Let's make sure our community is one of the easiest to get to and from, as well as to go out and about in. Miriam De Dios Woodward, CEO of Policy Works. One issue I would like to see Central Iowa business leaders address is that of growing our diversity and inclusion efforts in Central Iowa and throughout the state. I am thrilled to see how many organizations are embracing this issue as a strategic priority, like DWALA. And I can also observe that we have a ways to go, as there are many times I attend community events or participate in conversations that do not have diverse representation. More representation, diversity, and inclusion only make organizations stronger. Even though Iowa may not be known for a diverse population, there is diversity all around us to celebrate and include to advance the growth and vitality of Iowa. Melissa Knutson, Vice President, Risk Operations, NCMIC Group, Inc. One issue I would like Central Iowa leaders to address is the limited supply of safe, affordable housing for low-income individuals. A stable home helps individuals thrive, and for many in Central Iowa, this stability is out of reach. We need to normalize rent in relation to incomes and get more people in permanent housing near their work, schools, church, and family. Jesse Lowry, Director of Conservation and Research, Blank Park Zoo. Single-use plastics have direct effects on wildlife. Animals mistake plastics for food or become entangled. Microplastics, broken down plastic, pose an even greater threat. It's time to curb our throwaway culture. Parentheses, and please don't ever release balloons. End parentheses. Melissa O'Neill, CEO, Central Iowa Shelter and Services. While ending homelessness seems far-fetched and out of reach for many people across our nation, it's not for Iowa and surely not for Des Moines. We have been recognized by many outsiders, set trends, and been looked at as a model community across the country. Why not for ending homelessness? We can do it, and it will take all of us as neighbors to serve others to make a measurable difference. Reed McManigal, Account Executive, Holmes Murphy. One issue I'd like to see the Central Iowa business community address is student debt. Students are graduating with more debt than ever. Unfortunately, as students transition from education to employment, their debt load impacts their opportunities and decision-making. I don't believe there's an easy solution, but I believe we're all better off if we're thinking about and addressing this issue. Hank Norum, President, Ramco Innovations. I would like to see additional advanced manufacturing brought to Central Iowa. We have a passionate local workforce with an excellent work ethic and creative mindsets. We also have great infrastructure and incentives. When combined, I believe we are well positioned to take on additional advanced manufacturing opportunities in Central Iowa. Joe Murphy, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Public Policy, Greater Des Moines Partnership. Business leaders must continue to think creatively about addressing the workforce issue. In order to grow our talent pool, we need to engage in quality of life projects, investing in community initiatives that make our region the best place to live and play will give us an edge in recruiting a talented workforce. Shelley Copriva, Account Supervisor, Strategic America. Childhood obesity rates have tripled since 1980. A recent study ranks Iowa as the 10th highest state in the nation for childhood obesity at 18%. As a mother, these statistics are alarming and have driven me to become involved with Farm to Table Committee for Waukee Schools, a program that works to provide a deeper connection between children and their food source. While many initiatives are underway, more needs to be done to ensure our children have access to healthy food choices and plenty of physical activity so they can go on to lead long, healthy, and productive lives. And Lydia Hornung, Communications Strategy and Visitor Services Manager, John Deere Des Moines Works. I believe one extremely important focus area should be on attracting and retaining new, profitable businesses to Central Iowa. These businesses are game changers for our community and bring talented individuals to our region who provide new and diverse perspectives. You've been listening to the Business Record on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. I'm your reader, Bob Powers. Thanks for sharing your time with Iris.